The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Ethan Hewitt at KMA Land Shenandoah and John Jensen at the Outlook in Monona. Ethan, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Sure. Well, Senator, thank you so much for your time for this morning. Just to start off, obviously, of course, right now, our recovery efforts are underway right now in Florida after Hurricane Ian. Obviously, the President did declare the situation a natural or national disaster, opening up some funding through FEMA. But right now, do you feel there are any other steps right now the federal government should be taking to offer assistance to those in need right now down there in Florida?
I think the only question is how much money it's going to take. And with a disaster like we have, we never put enough money, in this case, we wouldn't have put enough money in the FEMA account on October 1st of last year that there'd be enough in it now to take care of this situation. And I'm sure we're going to have to wait for several weeks to get a final figure of what it might cost. And that may not really be a final figure. You may have, as time goes on, realize that whatever you estimated wouldn't be enough. So let me make clear very much that because you asked me if anything else needs to be done, I don't want to say that nothing else needs to be done, but this is pretty much falls into a pattern of any natural disaster. The President makes that declaration, and it's obvious in this one, the tremendous destruction. Somebody said maybe as bad as anything would happen in 500 years. Anyway, the laws are on the books of infrastructure that the states and counties need to fix their roads and bridges. Then there's the laws on the books for decades on who can qualify and under what circumstances they qualify. So the Florida disaster would be treated just like tornado going through the state of Iowa doing hundreds of thousands of or millions of dollars of damage. Then the only question is the money flows. So then Congress has to be involved. When there's not enough money in the fund to do that, we have to replenish the fund. And that's the basic question. In other words, if you're asking me, do you change any policies? No, these policies have been in place. Maybe you tweak them a little bit here or there, but the basic how you help people through a natural disaster doesn't change from disaster to disaster. Monona.
Good morning, Senator. North Korea reportedly fired a missile over Japan earlier today. What should the federal reaction be, and what can be done to control the threat from North Korea?
The only way I know to answer the last part of your question is that would be done by negotiation. There could be other things through sanctions we could put on North Korea that might make an impact. But it's until we negotiate their abiding by the international arms control treaty for nuclear weapons, and getting to abide by the rule of law, which they just got themselves out of about maybe 20 years ago. And, we think that's wrong, but they would say the United States have nuclear weapons, so what's wrong with North Korea having them? Anyway, negotiation. Then the other thing is that when you ask about the first question with flying over Japan, that would be Japan's decision what to do about that. Back to Shenandoah.
Certainly, and obviously you've been a proponent of looking to try to address the southern border right now. And recently we saw Florida Governor Ron DeSantis use state funds to fly illegal immigrants from Texas to some sanctuary districts, such as we saw Martha's Vineyard up in Massachusetts. Do you agree with this sort of move? And otherwise, I guess the second part would be sort of what steps do you think need to be taken right now at the southern border?
Well, it's the last question is simple to answer. We have laws against entering our country without our permission, and the president enforces those laws, and he's not enforcing those laws, and don't look like he's going to enforce those laws. But that's all that needs to be done to stop the issue that you brought up with me. And if your question is in regard to Texas, Arizona, and Florida sending people that illegally entered our country all over to big cities, well, first of all, they claim to be sanctuary cities, so you think they'd be welcoming the immigrants coming. But just think of what that signal sends from Texas, Arizona, and Florida. It's just not a Texas problem, and it's just not a border states problem. It affects all 50 states, because these people are going to end up in all 50 states in large numbers or small numbers. And just think of the hypocrisy of people condemning the governors for doing what they're doing, when the people that are doing the condemnation didn't say anything when the president, in the early hours of night, was sending people all over the country by airplane and trying to hide it. These governors aren't trying to hide it. They're trying to bring attention to the major problems for their states that the president not enforcing law is doing to their economy and their state budgets. Monona?
Senator, you and Senator Ernst met with Davenport officials about public safety last week. Talk about what you discussed and what direction we're going with that public safety component.
Thank you for that question. It's similar to a meeting I had with law enforcement people in eastern Iowa and Davenport back, I think it was Easter when I did that, to learn about the problems that they have with crime in their area, the problems that they have with recruiting and maintaining people in their police force, and the very difficult time they're having because of the defund the police movement. And people just don't find the profession of law enforcement an attractive profession. And that's a sad commentary, because we're weaker, we're more crime-prone and more dangerous, particularly in our big cities, with murders up 30 or 40%, et cetera, et cetera. So they discussed those problems with me then. Now they came to Washington, D.C. with a more specific problem. They need people from the FBI and the ATF to be stationed there so they can have the federal government involved in investigations that are long-term investigations. And they're pleading with us to help get the Justice Department to get people perfectly, permanently stationed there. Because now Davenport is served by Omaha on FBI, by Kansas City on ATF, and in the case of the Illinois side, because Illinois people were there too, they're served from Springfield. So both sides of the river feel they aren't getting the help from the federal government that they wanted, and they thought that we ought to be helping them, and I'm willing to help them. Let's go back to Shenandoah.
Senator, here in Iowa, especially particularly here in Page County right now, kind of a hot topic at the moment is kind of switched to a wind energy right now. Primarily a lot of some of the things have to do with setbacks of the turbines from certain properties between participating or non-participating landowners. How do you see potentially wind energy playing a part in the U.S.'s energy production in the future?
Well, it's about 60% now electricity in Iowa gets by wind. Mid-America says in 3 years they're going to have about 80, almost 100% of their electricity comes from wind. And we'd probably get 100% if we had a way of storing the excess energy when you don't need to burn it except in high times in the afternoon and early evening. Anyway, I see it playing a very important role. But whether or not you're going to have them in your neighborhood or not is strictly up to the counties to make that decision. The federal government has nothing to do with the siting of these wind energy things. That's entirely under state law and local ordinance. Back to Monona, and you'll be the last question.
Senator, last Wednesday, you made remarks on the Senate floor regarding your push to lower prescription costs. Where are we going with that, and how is the movement coming to bring that to consumers?
Well, the reason I made the speech is that the Democrats are crowing that they got something passed in August that's going to lower prescription drug prices, but it doesn't go into effect until 2026. So I wanted to highlight the Grassley legislation that could go into effect immediately. The other thing I spoke about was the inordinate impact of pharmacy benefit managers. We call them PBMs. The PBMs are the middle people between the manufacturers and the consumer, and they're very opaque in their operation. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know how much money they make. You don't know the impact that they have on the price of drugs. Of course, they brag about keeping drug prices down, but they benefit from it. I think they're driving up the price of drugs. But regardless, we just need to have them be transparent, particularly when it comes to insulin. I'm for a $35 cap on insulin. I'm going to support the Shaheen Collins bill when that gets brought up on insulin, and it's got a $35 cap in it. But the cap wouldn't do any good unless we reform the PBM systems, because they'll just shift from manufacturer to consumer, or consumer to the health insurance industry. So we got to have that reform. And the Democrats brag about doing something about, or attempting to do something about, insulin. It didn't get it had no right being in the bill that they're putting it in, because it was a reconciliation bill. Anyway, it didn't reform the PBMs. And you can brag about wanting to put $35 cap on insulin, but if you don't reform PBMs, it's not going to do any good. So thank you both very much, and keep in touch with us if we can do
anything
else for you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Ethan and John, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.